Morning everyone, welcome to our service today. Today we've got one of our members coming to talk to us, sharing a bit about her story. So we look forward to that in a moment. I'm just going to pray before I hand over to Faith. Father, thank you that we can come here to meet together to worship you. We can gather in our separate homes. Father, would you speak to us through Faith's story today? Would you give us ears to hear your word to us, hearts to understand and to respond to you? Father, may we know your blessing and your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you tell us a bit about your background?
I come from a dysfunctional family. My parents separated when I was little, and completely non-religious background. I'm one of five, but I was brought up with my sister that's 2 years older than me, who is the complete polar opposite to what I am. She's very, very disciplined, very intelligent, very good at school, very cooperative, and she conformed to the rules of our household, whereas I didn't. Grew up feeling like I was living in her shadow. You know, little Faith wanted that recognition and wanted to be praised and wanted to be loved. And I say this with hindsight, my distorted perception of my reality as a child allowed me to foster and nurture a narrative that I was unloved. And as I grew up, I continued to believe that until quite recently. And my mum locked me in the spare bedroom in the dark when I was a child because I was particularly naughty. And I remember being absolutely petrified of being in the dark and feeling really alone and unloved and looking out of the window. I was about seven, I think, when this happened, and I looked at the moon and saw the face in the moon, and I don't know why I attached this to it, but for me, God was looking at me, and I remember thinking, I'm not alone in the dark right now because the moon's there and God is looking at me. So for me, the seed was planted in me when I was very young. And although I've lived a life where you wouldn't look at my life and think that I had God in my life, one thing that I realise now is God's always been there. From that very night when I felt what I was feeling and alone and scared, God was there. I was very rebellious and quite promiscuous as a teenager because for me, again, my distorted perception of reality was that that was affection, and as long as somebody liked me and loved me and wanted me and all that stuff, very misguided and lost, I think I was then. Yeah, I had my son when I was 18. All I'd ever wanted was to be a mum. And I remember the day that I had him, God stepped back into my life. And I remember being on my knees and thanking God for what he'd given me. Felt myself in a position where I was bringing him up on my own, and then he was diagnosed with the autism and all the other things that he's got going on. And I remember thinking, this is not what I signed up for. This is not my fantasy of what being a mother was about. Unrealistic expectations. I'd always just wanted to be a mum, and remember thinking, when I've got children, I'm going to love my children and do for my children what was never done for me. And it's been, you know, it's been a tough ride bringing Reese up. He's kind of like in his own little bubble, and nothing outside that happens penetrates that little bubble. And I often, over the years, have looked at him and thought to myself, I wish I could be you. I wish that I could be in that little bubble with you where nothing affects you, because he's happy from the minute he wakes up to the minute he goes to bed. And I think now, you know, a lot's happened. My perspective is completely different. I spent so many years looking at what he can't do, and wanting what other people had that it robbed me of seeing the absolute blessing that he is. And now I look at him and I look at the things that he can do and the things that he has achieved rather than looking at what he hasn't. And I look around the world and I just think, wow, what if God had given me an average functioning child, I would be dealing with all the issues that mums and dads deal with now. My boy is not like that. He's just happy all of the time. So, he's an absolute blessing. But along the way, it was quite difficult. I looked for ways to escape how I was feeling. And, you know, I went down the path of drugs. And, you know, there's a lot of shame that's attached to that today. When I sit there and say that to you, there is a lot of shame attached to that. I am an addict. I'm a recovering addict. I'm 5.5 years clean. And it's brought me to where I am now. So, yeah, there's my background.
And somewhere along the line, you became a Christian. How did that come about?
You know what? That is such a beautiful story. So, like I just said, Reese had a lot of issues and I was moved quite a lot when Reese was young. And I just got all of the help implemented at the school that he was in. And the council decided to move me out of the area a little bit. And I refused to move my boy out of his school. Our local MP went to County Hall for me and fought my case. And I finally got funding to get Reese a taxi to school. And on that morning when he first got his taxi, I took Reese out to the taxi and there was this guy there that had a very wicked sense of humour, made me laugh, cursed quite a lot, moaned quite a lot, and I just really clicked with him. And then one day he happened to mention in a conversation, when I go to church, and I laughed. And I said to him, what kind of church do you go to? And he was like, you wouldn't think I was a Christian. And I'm like, you're a Christian. That reaction was based on my preconceived notion of what a Christian was, you know, very straight-laced and conservative, with absolutely no idea of the real world. You know, that's my honest opinion at the time. So he said to me, don't knock it until you've tried it. Why don't you come along? So having had that seed planted when I was really little, I always knew God was there. But because of my preconceived notions about Christians, I thought I'd be judged. You know, I've got tattoos, I've got piercings. And I just assumed, wrongly so, that I would be judged and nobody would like me. But I went along with these guidance and I came to the church, I came to Langdon Baptist Church. I think it was the Christmas meal that I came for. And everybody was really lovely and everybody just welcomed me. And particularly the older members of the congregation, which is not what I was expecting at all. People just showed me like acceptance that I'd never had from other people. And I remember, I carried on coming to the services on the Sunday. And I just remember thinking, like, this is what I've been looking for my whole life. I remember the day really clearly, sitting in a Sunday service and the hymn, You Laid Aside Your Majesty, came on. And I can't even to this day, can't explain to you what happened to me, but something happened inside of me and I just went into the toilets and slid down the door and cried. And the words of that song just really penetrated me. And I was like, have I gone a bit mental? Like, what's happening to me now? I don't understand. And then when I kind of shared that with a few older members of the church, they were like, Jesus has just met her in the toilets kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow. It was a real epiphany for me. And that day I decided that I wanted to be baptized. And I was doing Bible studies and I was learning the word. And yeah, it was the 14th of October, 2007, I was baptized. And the man that I'm talking about, John Greenslade, you know, he then became my surrogate father, and everyone knows I call him Pops. So yeah, Pops got in the pool with me and was part of that process of my redemption. I wanted him there. I didn't want anyone else there with, and it was very fitting because for me, it was always meant to be John that reached me. I don't think anybody else would have reached me the way that John did. You know, with Pops, what you saw is what you got. And he was real and he was a normal person. You know, he had flaws and he swore a lot and he had opinions. And I just thought, wow, if God can love you, then he can love me too. And I remember going to read the parable of the lost sheep, thinking, wow, looking at my life and what had gone on in my life. And I'm like, that's me. So yeah, that's how I became a Christian and how I was baptized.
How's life been for you since then?
A roller coaster. I've had many, many beautiful moments of being a Christian. But I've also had some really dark times as well. You know, I think for me, I absolutely believed that the second I came out of that water, that I would be dead to my old ways, my old thinking, you know, my old behaviour. And I wasn't. I think I was just very naive in my, and I, again, unrealistic expectations. You know, this is the divine. This is God. God can do anything. Anything. Why am I still in pain? Why am I still using drugs? Why am I still living the lifestyle that I've got? And you know, I used to come to church on a Sunday morning intoxicated, thinking today will be the day. Today will be the day that God's going to reach me. It makes me feel quite sad actually thinking about that. And I, you know, I hesitate to use the word angry, but I was very resentful, I think, at God. I felt abandoned. And I thought, why is this happening to me? You know, I was constantly stuck in victim mode. It makes me quite sad. But I never, ever stopped believing that he was one day gonna change my life, and I kept coming to church. I kept seeking, I kept looking, I kept wanting, but I had absolutely no idea how to have an intimate relationship with God. And what I realize now is that there were so many things in my life that were blocking me from seeing God and from feeling God working in my life. And you know, God never abandoned me. I abandoned God. And what I also realize now is that God lives within me. You know, that still quiet little voice that's within me that says, Faith, you don't want to do that. Let's not do this. This is not good for you. But, you know, I go and do it anyway. You know, like I said before, I'm an addict, and I started engaging in NA meetings, which is Narcotics Anonymous. And a lot of people, when you say narcotics, they're like, criminals. And it really isn't like that. So Narcotics Anonymous is a bit like AA. NA deals with addiction, and that's whatever addiction it is. It could be gambling, shopping, sex, food, anything that takes you away from your reality and fills that void that's within you. And I think that's what I was trying to do for a lot of years. So I started engaging with NA, and you know, there are a lot of hardcore addicts. They say in NA, listen for the similarities and not the differences. And the similarities for me was when people sat there and said they woke up in the morning and they didn't want to do the day. They wanted to stay in bed. When people spoke about always wanting to feel better than what they do, always wanting more than what they've got, I identified with that a lot. And, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is a spiritual, not religious program. That's what they say. And I absolutely connected with that spiritual side. They use the word God a lot in NA. And it's a God of your understanding. So it's a higher power. And for me, already being a Christian, for me, that was God. The God as you and I know him. And what I found quite early on, actually, people used to say to me, oh, you don't look like a Christian. And I identify with that, and I laugh, and I'm like, so what does a Christian look like then? And I get it today as well with people saying to me, oh, you don't look like an addict. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What does an addict look like? You know, and just like I had a preconceived notion of what a Christian was, people have preconceived ideas of what an addict is, you know, that kind of stereotypical rough and ready looking character that lays on a park bench drinking a can of Tennent Super that robs little old ladies for their pension. That's not, you know, that is not what an addict is. That, you know, the disease of addiction centers in your head and your thinking, and the drugs or whatever else your poison is a symptom of what the problem is. And for me, the problem is not being able to deal with my feelings, deal with life circumstances. It's a very insidious illness to live with. I guess I'm in a place where I look back at my checkered past and I just think it all happened for a reason. And, you know, I think, you know, that saying that you have to experience noise to appreciate the silence. I had to go through the pain to appreciate the freedom from that. And so today I engage with NA meetings. I help other addicts. Yes, so my life since becoming a Christian is, oh dear me, has been up and down, side to side, all over the show. But I'm still here kicking and screaming. So, yeah.
And as you say, God's used that past to shape what you're doing now.
So because I look the way that I look, okay, and I've got tattoos and I've got piercings and all this sort of thing, I think people, when I talk about God and people's instant reaction is, oh, she's part of the God squad, she don't look like a Christian, they're then interested. They then want to know how it happened, why it happened, what does God do for me? And then you kind of find yourself in a conversation with people and they're not running for the door, I guess, because I've not got a Bible in my hand and I'm not trying, you know. And I guess that's a really beautiful way of reaching people. It's very subtle, but it works because people are interested. I don't try and throw my beliefs down people's throats. You know, if I give you an opinion, that's all it is an opinion. If I use my experience, my own personal experience, then that has more value, and people tend to engage with that more. So absolutely, I believe that that God's used my past and used my experiences to help other people, because now I can reach people in ways that I would, without that experience and those life lessons, we'd never have been able to reach them. The same way that Pops managed to reach me all those years ago. So there's times when I'm really grateful for the pain and the experiences that I've had, because it now helps other people. But like I say, I'm an addict, so my worst enemy lives between my two ears, and I still have days where I can fall quite easily back into victim mode. I think, you know, I'm part of a 12-step fellowship. NA is a 12-step fellowship, and those steps are a beautiful thing. And it's a journey of self-discovery. And for me, you know, doing a thorough inventory of myself and becoming accountable and looking at my part in where things went wrong, has helped me to grow up. It's helped me to mature. But above all, I've got self-awareness now, which is what I didn't have before. So when I feel myself with the old defects of character start coming back in, and then you go into prayer, you go into meditation, you center yourself. You know, for me, being grateful for what I've got is a big part. I have to stay grateful for what I've got. Yeah, I've spent my whole life walking around with a chip on my shoulder, looking at what other people have got and wanting that, thinking, why have I not got that? Why have I not got a husband? Why haven't I got a family with loads of beautiful children? And, you know, if I'm resentful of my past, fearful of my future, then it's a thief. That fear and resentment is a thief. It robs me of my joy. It robs me of my gratitude. It robs me of my hope. And I lived a hopeless life for so many years. I'm not hopeless anymore. And, you know, human beings, I struggle with relationships with people because I have high expectations and we're all fallible. But when I get myself, when I back myself into a corner and I feel like everyone's letting me down, God is always there. God is always there. And I think if I continue putting one foot in front of the other and doing the next right thing, then all will be well. And I think that's key for me, is in spite of what the head says, in spite of what's going on in my life, all will be well. God's got a plan, and it's so far it's been a bit of a, yeah, my plan is upside down. I don't know sometimes what the plan is, but I just go with it. I go with it because I trust that, you know, he knows more than what I do. So, yeah.
I'm going to pause Faith for a moment. I welcome her insight into something that perhaps many of us have never had an experience with. You know, God made each of us and longs for us to come back to him. However far we've strayed, he never gives up on us. Just look up the parable of the lost sheep that Faith spoke about. God takes our past, touches and redeems it, and uses it and us to bless others. If you're watching this and want to find out more about the faith in God that's made such a big difference in Faith's life, then contact us or look up your local church, where I pray you'll find the answers that you're looking for. But let's sing together now the song that meant so much to Faith, "You Laid Aside Your Majesty."
You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever I will love you. You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration.
We come to a time of communion. A time where, as his children, we celebrate the God who died for us when we were still sinners, to offer us forgiveness, acceptance, and new life. One of the difficult things to realise in this lockdown situation, taking communion in our own homes with our own bread and wine, is that sharing this together is something that God invites us to. We don't invite God to our tables, he invites us to his table. And at this virtual table, all are invited, young and old, rich and poor, saint and sinner. We share in the meal shared by John, the disciple Jesus loved, by Peter, who had once said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," but would soon deny him, by Judas, who would betray him, and by men who would desert him in his hour of need. And we, also loved by Jesus, who also let him down, and nonetheless invited to meet with them. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." As he shared bread with them, shared wine with them, shared himself with them, he wants to do the same with us. So come to the table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come if you have faith in the Lord Jesus, even though you cry out with the desperate father in Mark 9, "I do have faith, but not enough. Help me to have more." Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. As we come, we believe that through this act of worship, we meet with God in a special way. So it's right that we do it in all seriousness and an awareness of our unworthiness and God's grace. So let's pray together, bringing before God anything that we know of for which we need his mercy and his forgiveness, and asking him to show us anywhere that we've gone wrong without being aware of it. Let's pray. Lord, we bring ourselves before you now. Examine our hearts and minds, our daily lives and the week that's passed. Show us our faults and cleanse us from them as we turn away from our sin and turn to you. Bless us, Heavenly Father, with the righteousness of Jesus. Enable us to be the people you have called us to be, and fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we lament the loss of our gathered worship and the absence of those who cannot be with us online. We pray that you would bless them in their worship at home, whenever and wherever they join it, that they too might meet with you, and we might join together again soon. Amen. As we come to the table, we read again the words of the Apostle Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Loving God, as we come to your table now, we rejoice in your broken body and shed blood that grants us forgiveness and a new relationship with you. We rejoice in the love shown to us through the life of Jesus and the good news of your kingdom, in the redemption of the world brought about by his death, and in the promise of the future demonstrated by his resurrection. We thank you for this bread and wine, these material created things that symbolize to us the spiritual eternal reality of your transforming love. May they be a blessing to us as we feed on your word. Send your Spirit to renew us in Jesus' likeness and form us into his body. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Jesus took the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's break it now with thanksgiving, remembering that he died for you, and let him nourish your heart by faith. After supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The new covenant grants us grace and forgiveness through the blood of Christ. Let us drink them with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The bread and wine that we've enjoyed are a remembrance for the past, but they're also a promise for the future. And God is interested not just in our past and wiping them clean, but in our futures as well. So we return to the conversation with Faith as she looks at her present and her future with God. So thinking of life now, what are you doing this week?
I've started to decorate my house, making my house a home, which I've been putting off for years because I've got a head that says, you can't do it. You're single, Faith. You're a woman. You can't do this. You can't do that. So I've decorated my dining room. And I'm now in the process of decorating my living room, my hallway rather. So yeah, and I'm like, oh, check me out, I did that. And I found through that process as well that I was able to motivate myself, which is something I've never been able to do. I've always needed other people to validate me and to keep me motivated. And that's not actually true because I've done it myself. So that's what my plan is for today and tomorrow. I'll probably do a couple more online NA meetings as well. And I will probably go and visit my mum, which is something that I can do today without becoming defective. Yeah, so that's this week really in a nutshell. Yeah.
What's gonna be a pressure point in all that for you?
My head, my diseased thinking is the pressure point, is the challenge, because sitting here right now, right here, right now, all is good. You know, I'm looking out into my beautiful garden. There's flowers growing. It's so lovely. I'm talking to you and being as honest as I can be, and I feel okay. But tonight, I might feel dreadful. And in the morning, I might feel even worse. So the danger is then, if that happens, is that if I revert back to type and I become unmotivated, then I won't do none of that. So I have to start my day with prayer. I have to start my day with meditation and center myself. I do my readings and I just ask God to guide me through the day and hope that in whatever I do, I'm a light for him to others in some way. It's all about the head for me, Helen. It's all about my thinking, you know. But one thing I learned very early on is that I am more than my thinking. I am not my thinking. I am my actions. It's all about what I do. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, as you know yourself, you know, I lost a baby last year. I spent 20 years wanting another child and being quite resentful that I hadn't got one. And then when I came into recovery, looking back on my life, thinking, I absolutely understand why God never blessed me with another one. I could just about look after myself. But I fell pregnant last year And I had a miscarriage, and it's coming up to the anniversary. And, you know, this wanting this child, this isn't just a fad. This is a deep rooted yearning for such a long time. So at the moment, the baby that I lost, and that grief, I struggle with grief, loss and grief quite a lot. So at the moment, I'm very mindful of my feelings around that. And I'm trying not to be consumed with sadness. That's my honest. I wasn't actually going to say that, but it's just come up. So there you go. So there's my struggle at the moment, is dealing with the loss and the grief. As long as I don't hurt anybody else, as long as I don't pick up and use, it will be a successful week.
What do you think God's purpose might be for you in what you're doing this week?
In terms of the grieving, I have no clue what God's plan is in that. I don't know why it happened, but it happened for, I believe it happened for a reason. You know, God knows more than what I do. You know, when I came out, after they told me that the baby was no longer living, I came out of the hospital and looked up at the sky standing outside the hospital. And my sister said to me, "Are you angry at him?" Meaning God. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't angry at God. It was like in that moment, just acceptance of, I don't know why this has happened, and I probably will never understand why it's happened, but I don't need to, because he does. You know, we talk a lot in NA about surrender. We also talk a lot in the church about surrender. And I remember used to saying to my spiritual mum all the time, what does surrender look like? What does it look like? I've never done it. I don't know what that means, to let go. I don't know what that looks like. And when I discovered that I was pregnant, I actually hit my knees and held my hands out and just cried out to God. And in the weeks that followed, prayed every day, on my knees every day, day and night, just thanking God for blessing me with what I saw as a complete miracle. And what I'd done was, thank you for giving me this absolute blessing. I give it back to you to do what you will with. And for me, that was the first time in my entire life it felt inside of me that I had completely surrendered. And then what happened. And anyone that knows me knows that would have been so easy for me then to then go, see, look what happens. I surrender to God and look what he does. And it wasn't, for some reason, it just wasn't like that at all. I just came out of that hospital and I was like, I don't know what you're doing and I don't know what this is about, but you do. You do. You know more than what I do, and I trust you. Yeah, so I don't know what God's plan for me is in that respect. But in terms of going to see my mum and other family members, I absolutely believe God's plan for me is to be the best version of myself that I can be. And that is to be a daughter. I can be a daughter today. I can be a sister today, a mother, an auntie. I'm present today when things go on for them. I'm not consumed with self all of the time. Where I was so consumed with my own self-pity and pain that I couldn't see past the end of my nose. I certainly couldn't see things from your point of view or anybody else's for that matter. So I really believe that today God's plan for me is just to be the best version of me that I can be.
So you've told me about your concerns for the future and the difficulty in knowing God's will for your life. But what would you say to someone else who found themselves in that situation?
I would say to anybody else in that situation, just to have faith that all will be well. And I know that that's easier said than done. you know, in NA you have sponsors and sponsees that help take you through the work and stuff, and they're your support network. So I've got a sponsee who is just looking to get well and wanting to do better all the time, and she phones me up every day. And sometimes I just say to her, you know, make a list to get yourself out of bed and out of your pajamas, wash your hair, you know, have a shower, go for a walk, all this stuff. And there's times when I have conversations with people and I come off the phone and I'm like, who's that wise person and where did she come from? Who just said that? And I was like, oh, that's me. And that comes from my own, not my own experiences. However, applying that same knowledge and wisdom to my life is a different story. And I really struggle with that. So I would just say to anybody else, just trust, just absolutely trust and believe that all will be well, and be patient, you know, be patient. And I think also what I would say to somebody else is, when you pray and you ask God for something, you know, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes, you know, you don't get your response and it don't come dressed in the package that you think it's gonna. You don't get a nice little box with a pretty pink bow on the top of it, you know. Sometimes you get a harsh answer. God knows what you need, not what you want, you know. And I guess that's true for me today. I might not have everything in my life that I want and that I desire, but I know that God's given me everything that I need. And for that, I have to maintain some gratitude for that. And I absolutely empathise with anybody that's living in that fear-based place of hopelessness where they cannot see the wood through the trees. Because I've been there, done that, and worn the T-shirt several times. The T-shirt's still hanging in my wardrobe. I can still get it out and wear it from time to time. But I'm not hopeless today, so yeah. And I would say to anybody, just hang on in there. Don't ever give up. You know, God's inside of you. So quieten yourself, center yourself, and connect with that innermost part of your being where God is. That's what I would say to somebody else.
How can we pray for you, Faith?
This is the one that I've got no answer for. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I'm still quite humbled by the fact that anyone would pray for me anyway. I think that's wonderful. Just for a continued relationship with God, and freedom, you know. We talk a lot in NA about freedom. Freedom from self and people's, you know, and in life generally, people say quite a lot, don't they? Oh, I just want to be happy. And I'm like, what is that? Like, happiness to me is transitory, it's circumstantial. You know, like I said to you the other day, if I had the baby that I so long for tomorrow, I'd be happy for a time. I still live with this head. You know, if I lost some weight tomorrow, I'd be happy for a little while. You know, happiness is circumstantial, and to kind of expect to be there constantly, it's unsustainable, it's unrealistic. And for me, my idea of freedom, my idea of happiness is contentment, is just being on a, because I'm an all or nothing kind of a person. If I'm happy, I'm happy, yay. And if I'm miserable, wow, I'm really miserable. And I have the ability to make other people around me miserable, and we don't want to go there. So I just want to be content. And that for me is being okay with me, even when things around me are not seemingly okay. That's my idea of freedom. So I guess if people are going to pray for me, that's what I'd like to be prayed for, is for contentment in myself, peace in my spirit. And the head's going, ask them to pray for the baby. Ask them to pray that God gives you a baby. That's what my head's screaming at me right now. I don't know. Does that answer your question, Helen? I struggled with that one a lot.
It does.
Thank you, Helen.
I did pray for Faith at that point. But that freedom comes from surrender. Surrender of our past, present and future to God, knowing that he holds us in his hands and knows everything that we need. So I invite you, if you wish, to offer up again to God all that you are and have been and will be, and ask him to make you his child and use you in his kingdom. We sing together, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's pray together. Lord, sometimes it feels that we are not enough. Not old enough, not strong enough, not good enough. But we know that you're the restorer of all things, that you take the mustard seed of faith and move mountains with it. You take our pasts and turn them around. You take our present and make it count. You take our futures and make them significant in your kingdom. You're the God who made us and who loves us, who knows what's best for us and enables us to be a blessing to others. And we worship and praise you for that. We continue in prayer as we bring to God those people and situations we know that are in need of his touch and his intervention today. As we did last week, those of you on church online, please join in an open prayer session as we come to God together. I'll open with some words and then leave you some space to pray in your hearts or type in the chat box as you feel right. Father, we pray for those close to us, for children and parents, sisters and brothers, friends and neighbours, and for those especially in our thoughts today. In the lives of those we love, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for those in need around us, those for whom life is a bitter struggle, those whose lives are clouded by death or loss, pain or disability, discouragement or fear, shame or rejection. In the lives of those in need, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for our country, for those in leadership, those who make our laws and shape our life, who keep the peace and administer justice, for those who teach and those who heal, and all who serve the community. In the life of our land, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for the created world, for those who rebuild where there's been destruction, for those who fight hunger, poverty and disease, for those who have power to bring change for the better and to renew hope. In the life of our world, your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, we pray for the wider church in its stand with the poor, in its love for the outcast and the ashamed, in its service to the sick and the neglected, in its proclamation of the gospel, in this land and in this place, in the life of the church. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done. Father, hear these prayers and those said in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to close our service in a couple of songs of worship to God.
Short day, and it dressed in the Saviour's blood. Died before me, who caused his pain, for me, through him, to death pursue. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? he left his father thrown above, so free, so incarnate his grave, emptied himself of all of love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. His mercy all immense and free for all my God found at me. His mercy all immense and free for all my God found at me. My prison spirit lay, but bound in sin and nature's lie. Thine I diffused a quickening grace. I wove the dungeon flames with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Condemnation now I crave. Jesus and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living hope, and clothed in righteousness divine. Eternal throne, and claim the crown to Christ my own. Bold I approach the eternal throne, and claim the crown to Christ my own.
Sing like now. Thank you.